Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for attending this session of the Capital Link event. I will start by introducing a great panel that we have today. From the left, Mr. Yannis Tsakiris. Yannis is the head of the division of the European Investment Fund that Greece is part of his mandate to create an environment for venture capital and private equity investments. Yannis, the EIF is the fund of funds of the European Investment Bank. Manos Ifakis, next to Yanni. Manos is the founder and CEO of Castor Media Labs. And Manos also is the proud developer of Momentio, which is a great CRM suite. Next to Manos is Makis Papakonstantinou of Artemis. Artemis is a great IT and technology company focusing on providing services to the telecommunication sectors in Europe. And next to Makis is Mr. Steven Moreno. Steven is a commercial director for the Megas Gyros Group here in the United States. Megas Gyros is the European leader in producing of Greek ethnic Mediterranean products. And Steven is leading the commercial operations in the United States where Megas Gyros has established a plant. And of course, Dimitri Yannakopoulos. Dimitri is the co-founder of White Key Villas. White Key Villas being the leader in Greece of in the rental of premium villa locations and real estate. I would like to start with a brief presentation about the private equity opportunity in Greece in order to put the discussion in context. And then I would like to ask Mr. Yannis Tsakiris. It's great that Jimmy joined us. Hello, Jimmy. No worries at all. Thanks so much for being here today. It's a great pleasure also to introduce Mr. Athanasopoulos. Mr. Athanasopoulos is the head of social responsibility for Libra Group. Libra Group is an international investment and operating group with an association both sentimental and economical with Greece. I will be very brief about my initial presentation in order to give the way to our guests and to the panelists. I will start with a brief introduction on the private equity industry in Greece and the opportunity that we believe exists. Then I will ask Mr. Athanasopoulos and Mr. Tsakiris to deliver their own experiences about doing private equity and venture capital in Greece, but also Mr. Athanasopoulos to underline the social impact that this kind of investments do have in the Greek society and economy. And then I will ask the gentlemen from the four companies to develop a presentation about their businesses and showcase their investment opportunity. Just to clarify, the companies are not raising any capital. We have invited them to be part of this presentation in order to showcase an example of great Greek companies that, despite of the Greek economic crisis, they thrive and do a great job. Excellent. So just to try to showcase the opportunity, as we all know, Greece is in a crisis for the last at least 8 years, but everybody needs to be reminded that Greece is still a Western European market. That means that it has all the elements of a Western market plus the euro. And the average per capita GDP is still close to the European Union average. So Greece is not part of the former Eastern European blocs or is part of Eastern Europe. So Greece is still a Western country with a significant per capita GDP. The other significant pillar of the opportunity is that the last 5 years there have been a structural credit contraction. That means that the banks have taken out significant amounts of money out of the economy. It is indicative that only the last 4 years 15 billion euros have been taken out of the real economy by the banks. That's the actual amount that the total loans of the Greek banking sector have been diminished over that period. On the other hand, there is very limited competition in the private equity and venture capital industry. The available capital that exists, specifically earmarked for this economy, is less than 200 million. And we all know that this amount is usually typical, an average fund size of another Western European country. In Italy, for example, the same amount would be 5 billion euros. Of course, the Greek economy is not the size of the Italian economy, but it shows you the opportunity in terms of the availability of capital. And of course, the last pillar of the opportunity is that there are hundreds of overlooked investment opportunities. There are companies that are growing. They are not part of the previous difficulties that the country has experienced. They don't have are part of the non-performing loans, let's say, discussion. They don't have issues with not paying taxes. They are solid and high growth, but they don't have the availability of capital since the banks do not lend. In order to utilize capital and growth. And here we come and we say that this vacuum can be filled by private equity capital. And in our opinion, this is a very unique proposition for a private equity industry opportunity in the Western world. We don't believe that such an opportunity exists in the West. Of course, there are always opportunities for investments around the globe, and we don't say that Greece has something magical about it, but this simple fact that there is no any supply of financing locally, while there are a high number of high growth businesses still exist in this country, is an opportunity on its own. I'll take you through this very quickly. I mean, this is a country that has the number of companies that operate in Greece is around 700,000. Out of them, 99.8% are small and medium-sized enterprises. Here you can see also the contraction of the actual bank loans for the years until 2015 that we have data. But we do expect that in 2016 the contraction would evolve plus by another 10 billion. So we are seeing an economy that is very aggressively deleveraging from the side of the banks. There are now the non-performing loans that are going to enter the discussion of the non-performing loans that is going to become a very significant one for the economy and the country. And that means that a lot of companies that are characterized as in distress, they will go to the market to raise capital and try to restructure their balances, and we do feel that this is going to be another opportunity. Can we switch the slide, please? Thank you. Summarizing, there is a very limited competition on the investment side of the equation. There are a significant number of opportunities while the sentiment is still very weak. We have many companies that are facing issues of operating and financial nature. Greece now needs equity capital. We know that the deleveraging is taking place, but what companies are now needing is equity, is not additional financing through loans. The balance sheet of the country and of the infrastructure in terms of companies needs now to strengthen in the equity side of the equation. And of course, there is a locally scarcity of financing, and due to the scarcity of scarcity of financing, due to the bank credit contraction, and of course, the imposition of the capital controls. Can we go to the next slide, please? Thank you. Again, here the pillars are. I'm sure you know that there are significant sectors that during the periods of the crisis, they haven't really faced obstacles. We all know about the tourism, about the mining, energy, foodstuffs. So there are sectors that they haven't really taken any hit out of the crisis. They are there with a large number of companies that are allowed and kicking, and they are looking for the opportunity to growth. We do believe that now is the time increased investment activity, and we are seeing local-based investment groups and family offices and groups of operating groups to do significant M&A activity and transactions. There are a number of examples here that we have seen capital coming out of the country, but we have also seen a recent example that our group also was involved with a very small company called Suroti, which is the leader in Greece of natural spring water. That although this is a very small company, two major groups, Coca-Cola Hellenic and the Russian-Greek Savvidis group, really are fighting for the equity of this business. And as I said, this is a very small 10 million euro company. And we know that all the years that we are going through the crisis, the companies that are still around and are growing have really restructured, and they have done an excellent job in cost-cutting and normalizing their financial performance. And as long as we see that there is going to be political, banking, and current stability, we do believe that the economy is going to eventually starting growing. Could you please? Thank you. The challenges and opportunities, as we all know, Greece is, as you also see, consists of small and medium-sized enterprises. All these companies are usually family-based, so it is a significant challenge to manage family-based businesses and how to help them understand the ways to growth and to how to utilize professional management. However, having said that, there is significant availability of human capital in the country, educated, experienced, and eager to work. And however, the major challenge is, as I said, the liquidity squeeze. And this leads to valuation issues for these assets. That's very tricky to deal with, because when a company operates under this environment, the expectations of the entrepreneurs are that the valuation should be higher since the fundamentals are lower, but they have managed to escape all the problems related with the crisis. But from an investor perspective, someone that is looking at this time in a country like Greece, there is this notion of the deep value investment that the valuations need to be very reasonable. So in order to proceed and actually see transactions materializing, we will need to bridge this difference. You might. Just a brief about who we are. We were founded in 2009. We do business from Athens, in Luxembourg, in London, and here in New York City. We also do venture capital and private equity investments, as I said earlier. And of course, we do some targeted advisory business, mainly help Greek domiciled business raise capital out of the London Stock Exchange and the AIM market, and also to provide advisory to them in order to enter the current market, the U.S. market. Take it to you very quickly. We are managing our first fund, which is the Elikonos Jeremy. It is a 17.2 million fund. We have invested so far 12 million, and we have 11 investments, and some of them are, I'm very proud to say, that are will join us today with the presentation. We are now under the final steps of finalizing our second fund, the Elikonos II fund. This is going to be a euro 60 million fund. It's going to be a general fund. It's going to invest throughout all the sectors of the Greek economy. We have a very experienced team in place. We're going to take advantage of the limited competition and the credit contraction, as I explained earlier. And we're going to target this overlooked side of the equation of Greek high-growth businesses that they cannot really have access to capital locally. Another great relationship that I would like also here to describe is our relationship with the University of Rutgers. We cooperate with Rutgers University in order to bring Greek companies to expand in this country. Rutgers has a great operating a division called the Rutgers Food Innovation Center, which is practically a food incubator. That practical meeting at Rutgers provides to companies that want to expand in this country all the services that they will be needing in order to have this, as we say, soft landing. That means market research, relationship with participants in this country, but also can provide the place for small-scale production since they have in Bridgeton in South New Jersey a major USDA plant that they lease out to companies that they want to come in this country. which of course is a great way to have a proof of concept for a business endeavor in this country without actually committing the required capital. We have so far done three projects along with our friends in Rutgers University, and we have a pipeline for a significant additional number. Here are some selected relations that I wanted to let you know about. We have a lot of partners in Greece that we are working together either as investors or as partners in their development projects. And now I would like to ask Mr. Jimmy Athanasopoulos to let us know about the experience of the Libra Group in Greece from two sides, one as investors, but even most importantly, as people that are helping out through their social responsibility efforts.
Thank you, Takis. I would like to thank all of you, my co-panelists. As the head of Libra Social Programs... Can you hear me? Can you hear me? So as the head of Libra Social Programs, I would like to take this unique opportunity to let you know and share my personal experience. That Greece is just full of talent, full of opportunities. However, if you deconstruct dismantle Greece, you'll end up or you'll go up to the single person. So all these people have been, amidst crisis, have been really feeling the hairdryer effect for the last 6-7 years, if not more. And we all need to do whatever it takes, whatever we can, to help all these people. And when I say help, I don't mean charity. I mean the other side, philanthropy. Charity is just a way of giving, writing a check, giving. But philanthropy, this is a Greek word also, is a way of living. Empowering all these young entrepreneurs. Taki Solomos did a great job depicting and reflecting the numbers. And one of the slides referred to challenges and opportunities. So you have thousands and thousands of young people trying to survive, trying to make their dream come true. And I'm talking about their business dream come true, just to relate it to this perfect event. And we all can help them. We all have a duty to help them. Those who can should help. Libra Social Programs has several flagship programs that move towards this direction have done some good things out there, mostly to empower people, but to encourage others to help as well. Education and supporting entrepreneurship is just two of these vehicles. So we have Libra Internship Program, more than 150 to 200 students every year get admitted to these programs and have a fair chance to see how a business group, a global business group works across the world through the lens of real-time business. I urge you to speak to one of these, to any of these interns, and see how their life has changed and how this is reflected and it's creating the ripple effect to other people within the Greek society. I urge you to speak to Taki Solomos about the Hellenic Entrepreneurship Award and how the award has empowered and has supported businesses like Raymetrics. Taki Solomos and his company is supporting Raymetrics. Or even another bright example of RTSafe. RTSA functions in the medical technology realm. And 2 years ago, the founder, the owner, the person spearheading the efforts, Mr. Vangelis, Evangelos Papas, had no clue what a business plan was, had no clue what a 5-year projection, a P&L, a balance sheet, a cash flow report. He had no clue what this is. Today, a year and a half, 2 years after that, after he has won the Hellenic Entrepreneurship Award, his company is valued 20 million euros. How did this happen? This person was empowered. The award gave him and provided him with all the resources that are required, like funding, Like Solomos reflected that clearly. Mentorship, know-how, business support services, branding, marketing, accounting, communication, IT, you name it. If we do our part, those who can, and every single panelist sitting in this panel has done great work in the investment sphere, I think then we will see Greece achieving the singular vision of growth and prosperity. I welcome any question at the very end of this panel to see how we can make things happen. Thank you very much.
Jimmy, thanks so much. I would like here to underline that with the help of Jimmy and the Libra Group, a significant number of Greek companies have actually managed to secure initial funding that made them to take their companies to the next level, and then they achieved the next round of financing, and they managed to enter the global arena of operations. And I would like to commend that, because when Libra Group and Jimmy started this operation, is it 4 years ago, Jimmy? 5 years ago, nobody else really was there to help. Actually, another factor of this involvement from Libra Group is that they actually, there were some, let's say, copycats, but in a good sense, that there were other people that they followed the example, and now there is a vibrant number of, let's say, groups that are trying to help young companies to grow in the Greek market. I would like now to ask Yannis Tsakiris. Yannis is the division head of the European Investment Fund. Yannis has also to be commended, because during his tenure, the country really raised significant capital for the Jeremy Initiative in order to start investing in small and medium-sized enterprises. Before Yannis, I don't know that if the EIF had any involvement in Greece in the venture capital industry, and despite of the EIF doing this business at least for the last 35 years. So that's a significant indication of about Yannis' involvement and footprint.
Thank you, Taki. As you know, the European Investment Fund is supporting private equity and venture capital funds that, in turn, they are investing in SMEs and mid-caps across the European Union. We had a very remote experience in Greece many years ago when we invested in a fund, in the NBG Tech Fund. And for many years we were absent because the market were not there, initiatives were not there, and there was also an overflow of funds. But given that we are operating counter-cyclical and following the financial crisis, we were engaged strongly in Greece. First by creating, supporting four venture capital funds in the ICT sector through the Jeremy Initiative, which was an initiative that it was supported by structural funds from the European Union that were coming also from the Greek state. So four funds were supported at that time, funds that they were active in the ICT sector primarily. Those four funds, of a total of 70 million euros, they have already finished their investment periods. They have invested in around, if I'm not mistaken, more than 60 high growth SMEs in Greece. And we believe that this portfolio will have a very important evolution when it comes to value. And following this, I don't know, something happened. Following this initiative, we also have supported two additional funds, a mezzanine fund and a buyout fund. Those are as of today, and I don't know if you heard in a previous panel in the big room. We are launching a new initiative, a big equity initiative for Greece that will support again private equity and venture capital funds in all the stages, starting from technology transfer and seed, early stage growth capital up to the lower mid-market. And the idea behind this is that all the value chain of equity investments has to be supported so that a company, a high growth company, an innovative company, a company that has potential, no matter which stage it is, to have an opportunity to support, to receive an equity investment. So this initiative will be, for the time being, in the area of around 300 million euros, and soon it's going to be announced and launched. And we believe, as I said also before, that with this initiative and our, let's say, transfer of know-how and best market practices, we will manage to create a healthy, sustainable, and long-lasting private equity and venture capital ecosystem in Greece, which is something that will really boost entrepreneurship, will boost innovation, will support good companies to become very big successes.
Thanks so much, Yanni. You understand the importance of what Yanni has said. When the whole market of private equity in Greece is estimated that the capital available is 200 million euros, the fact that Yanni and his team are about to introduce a mechanism of introducing into the market of an additional 300 million euros, that's practically is more than doubling the supply of this kind of financing to the country. And that's very commendable, and I would like to underline that. Now I would like to invite Mr. Dimitri Yannakopoulos of White Kivilas to present the company. I have been known Dimitri for the last, 15 years. Dimitri and his partner, Anna, that we are very happy to have her here also, are pioneers in Greece. They developed 10 years ago the White Key concept, and today they are the most recognizable brand in the premium and upscale villa renting and real estate in the country. And I would like to ask Dimitri to present White Key Villas. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Taki. Well, after looking at our homepage for so long, I hope it's been impressed in your brains and the message. Let's see how we change the slides. How we started. We established our brand in 2008, although our experience had started a couple of years earlier when we're working together with a Swiss company dealing with chalet rentals in Europe, and we try to bring that concept in Greece. And we saw a market for luxury private home accommodation. So we had seen that working in the Alps, and we found the first 30 villas that would fit the criteria that we had set initially, and tried to make it work in Greece. In the beginning, we obviously had a lot of challenges. We didn't know whether the owners would rent their villas out. These are, high net worth owners in Greece. We didn't know whether there would be clients who would pay such high prices. And we didn't know whether Greece would be able to be perceived as a luxury destination of that magnitude. And also whether the service infrastructure in the country at the moment would allow us to support that kind of clients. Today, White Key offers the top 240 villas in Greece. And actually, this is a number which is very small compared to all the villas that are rented out in Greece, but we have deliberately kept it this small because we have focused on the very high end of the luxury villa rental. We're now a full service company without a fixed location. We're actually using 240 locations to provide our services. And we're also an on-site travel specialist for both for individual clients and travel agents we work with once they have booked a villa with us. We arrange a vast range of services, as easy as simple car rentals or transfers, all the way to more demanding ones, such as this example of a Russian client who wanted a Russian-speaking math teacher for his daughter who had failed the class the previous term. We choose our villa strictly and with a holistic approach. We don't have a bucket list of things that we just check out. We just want to make sure that the aesthetics and the feeling that the villa conveys matches that required by the clientele that we have built so far. About 50% of our bookings have right now have services of private chefs and hosts, and this is the best way to experience a villa rental of that quality. We have an amazing team of professional chefs and hosts whom we train and we have been working with for a long time, and they offer an amazing service to our clients. And our rates right now range from 7,000 euros per week in the low season all the way to 150,000 euros per week. That's one case in Mykonos, high season, but it's worth mentioning because it does rent out at these price levels. Right now, we are, I mean, last summer we served over 1,500 guests or 16,000 guest nights. And we're very proud of the fact that 40% of these bookings came from repeat clients. The average booking value is 26,000 euros. And we have received a number of awards and, you know, such as the, you know, by international magazines, such as Top Villa Specialist by the Condé Nast Traveler and Travel and Leisure magazines. We're members of Ultra Villa. This is an initiative trying to bring under one roof the best luxury villa agents in the world. And we are becoming a standard of quality among villa owners. We recently received a phone call by an architect whose client had just bought land in Greece. And he had asked the architect to build him a white key villa. And the architect called us and he was like, okay, so what is a white key villa? That made us very proud. At the same time, we have a branch, White Key Realty, which is actually one of the very few international real estate agents in Greece with a real international outlook. And it's acting mostly as agents helping buyers, international buyers, find their dream home, vacation home in Greece. The rentals generate interest from buyers and at the same time help and serve as a way for potential buyers to try out a home before they buy it. At the same time, we offer rental plans for new owners that help achieve income. And we actually close deals with an average of 1.5 million, which is a pretty good average for Greece. And we cover the whole country. In terms of marketing, White Key is a Greek company marketing to the whole world. We do focus on three continents that brings us most clients. And these are Europe, North America, and Australia. But we do have marketing efforts to the whole world. We have selected four groups that we target, and these are the groups that really benefit from a luxury villa rental compared to any hotel. These are families with children, multi-generational groups, people with increased needs of privacy, celebrities, royalty, whatever, and people who want to really feel to feel really exclusive. Our marketing approach is by the best marketing approach that has worked for us is by far word of mouth, but obviously we do internet advertising, we advertise magazines, we work with travel agents all over the world, we participate in trade shows, and we have an amazing list of clients who have shown interest in our company in the past. And we create marketing campaigns by email for them. We are investing in technology, although we always keep in mind that for a service like ours, which is customized, technology can never replace or can never automate the kind of service that we offer. So by balancing that trade-off, we are investing in a concierge application that will be launched for next summer and which will significantly enhance the concierge services that we give our clients while vacationing in Greece. We are investing in a more sophisticated CRM and quotation system. We have an enormous amount, volume of data from media because we're adding every day pictures, drone videos, videos. We are in the era of video, so we need to invest in media management and delivery. And we are investing in sophisticated marketing techniques. And one word about how we see the future. First of all, our goal is to become the undisputed leader in our market and to be the synonym of top quality when it comes to accommodation and services. And our strategy is to take advantage of the potential that Greece has. We for the moment, we're focusing on expanding vertically as opposed to expanding horizontally in other countries. We believe that there is so much potential in Greece and in what we do that we're putting our efforts in that. We believe that the high-end sharing economy, like the business we are in, is an even more exclusive way of vacationing. It's not an alternative to traditional accommodation. We know for a fact that most of our clients would not even come to Greece if they had to stay in a hotel. They would probably choose another country where they could rent a similar villa. And we're watching the growing penetration rates of rentals of residences as opposed to hotel. There are studies published about Airbnb and how the percentage of people who have tried a private residence compared to a hotel is growing. But at the same time, we don't see us as conflicting or competing with Airbnb. We believe that at the levels of quality and prices that our villas are at, our clients require professional management and they cannot rely on the owner's idea of hospitality because they are really demanding clients. Lastly, we're focusing on private homes and not purpose-made villas or hotel villas because we really believe that private homes have that private home feeling or, as many of our clients refer to it, a soul. And we are biased towards private homes as opposed to purpose-made villas. I hope that I gave you an idea of what our company is, and I'll be happy to answer any questions at the end of the panel. Thank you very much.
Dimitri, thanks so much for the presentation. I would like now to ask Mr. Steven Moreno from Omega Giros to deliver his presentation. I would also would like to thank Panagiotis Stambolidis that joined us today from Greece, that he's head of strategy. Please, Steven.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you, Capital Inc. Thank you, Takis, for inviting me to speak today. I'm coming from a little bit of a different approach. Everybody up here is a founder and is somebody who's brought the business to the marketplace. My view is from somebody in the marketplace, and I'm looking at a product and a company, and how can we leverage the success that they've had in Greece and grow the business in the United States. So I'm going to give you a little bit of background on the Megas Euros Group in general, and then a little bit about our plans and how to achieve those goals in the States. There we go. The Megas Euros Group was established in 2007. Right now they're operating with 120,000 square foot production facility in Athens. They partnered with a fast casual concept here in the States, GRK Fast Casual. They currently operate two locations here in New York City. They're going to be expanding further along. We came to the States and became their primary supplier. Right now, that company is doing about 600 pounds of product, of our product, per day, which for a Greek-style grill in the States is a tremendous amount of volume. Right now, Megas Euros is the number one producer of authentic Greek Euros in the world. The production facility in Athens was joined, which I'll bring up a little bit later, about the production facility in the States as well. Distribution right now is in Europe, the Middle East, and North America. We do sell product down into South Central America as well, but that all comes out of this distribution area in the States. Megas Euros Group is the leader in the global addressable market of more than $6 billion U.S., and right now is growing with double-digit rates. So you can see that the market in general is there and easy to capitalize on. Quick notice, little infographic on the map of operations. Right now, there's distribution in 18 countries in the European Union. Greece is still the primary marketplace with $25 million in U.S. dollars. The Middle East is a recently tapped marketplace. We're doing $1 million U.S. in that location. That market, however, should be able to reach $2 billion U.S., and our share of that should be substantial. South America, we're doing about $500,000. I said that was a relatively new addition for us. And here in the States, we're doing $5.5 million already. We have a 30,000 square foot production facility, and we're partnered, like I said, with the two GRK restaurants. Just a little bit more about the European operation, established in 2007. The product mix right now is primarily traditional Euros, pork, chicken, beef and lamb, turkey, souvlakia, kebabs. The local market in Greece was over $1 billion. And the founders saw that the business there was very fragmented. There was a lot of product inconsistency. People were sourcing product from butchers. They were making it themselves. They weren't able to put out a consistent product. Megas Euros capitalized on that. They were able to put together a true commercial product, industrialize the process, which I know has a lot of bad connotations to it. However, in this case, they were able to provide product safety through HACCP certification, et cetera, provide a consistent product to the marketplace, and most importantly, provide a cost stability. And you'll see that'll come into play later here in the States. The production facility in Athens is all state-of-the-art, top-level machines. It's constantly being upgraded. Right now, there's a very limited leverage. Right now, it's less than $3 million, which gives us a lot of opportunity to be able to expand. It's a people-driven company, so you know it is loaded with top-level management people who are experienced and knowledgeable. However, it also employs a lot of people. You know, Dimitri was up here talking about how automating the product can and the process can make it nicer, but you can't ever get to the level of hospitality without people. We feel the same way. You can automate the process all you want, but without the right people from the ground up at the production level, you're never going to get that product, that handmade product, that homemade product, the taste that reminds you of home, or the product that has a you know, a soul. So kudos to you for that. We've also, through our investment partners, forged some strategic partnerships with some of our vendors, Kraft Foods here in the States, Danish Crown, as well as Vion. So having that relationship with the suppliers gives us the ability to source product at a consistent price level and keep our pricing in the market level. We'll get there, I promise. There we go. Megas Euros in the United States was founded in 2013. Our plant opened for operation at the end of 2014. So as I stand here today, we are just finishing up basically our second year in operations. The net investment initially was $6 million. As Taki said earlier, you know, we collaborated with the Rutgers Food Innovation Center to help us get off the ground. And like I said, that ended up with a 30,000-square-foot production facility just over the bridge over in Lyndhurst, New Jersey. Our goals here are the same as they were in Greece. We want to supply a premium quality product and basically stay true to the Mediterranean traditions, the Mediterranean recipes, and put a slight U.S. or new market tinge to it. We started with an established clientele, and I can't say enough about that. Having the partnership with GRK initially provided us with the ability to control our food waste. And any type of food production business, the waste tends to be a very big segment, especially during a startup. For us, we were able to get consistent supply and consistent sales. So being able to partner up with an operator is key. Currently, we have distribution in 15 states. The plan is to keep our production as traditional as possible. Even if we end up with an additional manufacturing facility down the line, which is a possibility, consistency tends to be the most important thing that we need. We broke even this year, so we're already looking at next year as a profit-building year. Our target now has changed. We are now targeting the mainstream market, not just the Greek consumer, and that's a big, big deal for us because the Greek market, the ethnic market here in the States, is very small compared to the overall food service business. And what's the market position right now? This is an interesting time for all restaurant business and food service business. In 2015, restaurant business hit a record high. Growth was up 3.8%, almost 4% from 2014, and it's over $700 billion. Now, that sounds great. However, right now, everybody's very bearish on the industry. Jeffrey warns of 18 months of challenges ahead. Stifel predicts a replay of 2000 and 2007, which were devastating, devastating times for the restaurant business. The key, though, is that we're looking at quick service up 1.7%. It's the lowest in the last three years. However, it's still up. And what we're seeing is there's certain segments of the business that seem to be safe from some of this. If you're looking at the white tablecloth restaurant or the full-service restaurant business, that's taking a little bit of a beating. I apologize for my slide. It wasn't quite like this when I originally brought it over. What we do on the restaurant side of the business is look at the consumer, the end consumer, the operator's customer, and we're trying to hit products that resonate with them. If you look at some of the replies that you're getting when customers are asked about what influences their decisions, they're looking for convenience, they're looking for healthfulness, they're looking for variety. And that's one of the things that we think that we fit into and that we can provide. I'm going to get off this slide because it's very difficult to read. From the industry trends for the next year, for 2017, one of the key trends that we're looking at is, according to Sterling Rice, quote, consumers are seeking to rediscover traditional cooking methods and explore global cuisines. Well, Megas Euros is positioned perfectly to take advantage of that. Our goal is to stay and stick true with our traditional recipes, and we hope that we can expand the consumer's palate. Mintel predicts consumers will seek comfort for modernized updates of age-old formulations, flavors, and formats. You know, I stepped into a great opportunity here because, again, You know, we're hitting all the key points that Megas Euros is all about. Innova Market Insights say the rules have changed, have been rewritten, and clean and clear label is the new global standard. And, you know, on the side is another, it's kind of hard to read, but what you're seeing is this is another consumer influence. These are statements that consumers claim influence their buying pattern. What's important on this is 40% of these claims are not about healthfulness. 40% of these claims are about products that stay away from unhealthy or perceived unhealthy ingredients. At Megas Euros, our products have no MSG. We use no preservatives. Everything that we do is to hit and focus towards that clean label product. So again, we're targeting a segment that consumers are looking forward to. Technomics predicts a 4-6% growth in the GPO segment. That's a group purchasing organization. That's companies like Avendra, companies like Premier Health, companies like Foodbuy. They're non-traditional food service accounts. So it's not necessarily your restaurants, your grills, but these are food service accounts that are in hotels, in colleges and universities. And again, those clientele, those operator customers are the people that are looking for items that are clean and clear. And then last is the Mediterranean diet echoes. I know, you know, 8-9 years ago, you couldn't read an article about food service and not read about Mediterranean diet this, Mediterranean diet that. And that's faded away over time. But what we see now are echoes of that. One of the key factors right now is if you look at Greek yogurt. The yogurt industry in general at the retail level is down. The only two categories that are up are Greek-style yogurt and large-pack yogurt. Everything else is down, including the claims of low sugar, low calories, fat-free. Some of those are down double digits. And what you're seeing at the same time is the Greek yogurt category is up over 5.5%. So that's what I talk about when I say the Mediterranean diet echoes. At Megas Euros, we have a very unique product. It's a traditional gyro. It's a hand-stacked, whole-muscle product. The product that is consumed in the United States is a donair. It's a minced meat product that's 50-60% meat. So we feel that we have a product that is unique. We use traditional ingredients, traditional recipes. These were the products and the recipes that are being sold in Greece, in Europe right now. We've brought those over here. What's interesting is we've taken local ingredients, domestic ingredients, and that helps keep our cost basis down. Product is gluten-free. We don't use any preservatives. We have a raised without antibiotic line available. Again, it's speaking to that clean label. And then we also do not just large stack cones, but value-added items. Pre-done strips, things that are outside of the Greek norm. So we're doing a Mexican al pastor line. We're actually expanding that line with some other items as well, try to capture some other non-traditional markets. But our products are based on cost control, reduced waste, quick prep time. Again, all the things that would differentiate yourself and enable you to be successful in a market right now that has a relatively negative outlook. So that's our company in a nutshell. I think the important parts to take away from it are, the food industry in Greece is very important. You know, that's the ministers that spoke this morning brought it up numerous times. Mr. Salamos brought it up as an industry that was less touched by the current crisis. I think there's a lot of opportunity to bring additional Greek product into the states. It's by nature. It's a healthier cuisine. We're still seeing these resonation of these Greek or this Mediterranean diet echoes. So people are still looking for this product. And if you can fit it into a niche market, and if you can grab a hold of this clean and clear label, if you can grab and take advantage of the traditional recipes, I think you have an opportunity to be very successful in a market condition that's very negative. So Thank you again. I appreciate your time. If anybody has any questions, please.
Stephen, thank you so much. Mr. Tsakiris apologized that he had to leave, but he had a meeting with the European Investment Bank downstairs, and he asked me to apologize to you today. Now I would like to ask Mr. Papakostadinou to present Artemis. Artemis is a great business that operates out of Greece in a number of countries, with a major customer being the Deutsche Telekom organization in Europe. Maki, please.
Good afternoon to everybody. You opened our appetite, definitely. So I will try to be fast. So we are in the market where there is a lot of demand for data and data services nowadays, and broadband services as a principle, all around the world. So in every country, even poor or stronger economies, the telecom market is growing, and is growing very fast. And according to our assumptions, it is expected to grow even more. We are operating in the market of telecom, supporting the telecom networks from their scratch by planning them, implementing them, and maintaining them after they're being operated. And we're also supporting this market in terms of checking it out, optimizing it, and making it better and better. Okay. So it's okay? It's okay now? Okay. Thank you very much. So for this reason, the market is growing very much. The whole European Union is investing a very big amount of money in expanding the broadband networks in Greece as well. So we have started from Greece. We have started from Greece servicing this area since 2008. And we managed with a small team in the beginning, growing very fast as the years were progressing during the financial crisis. And we managed to gather a lot of good engineers and good technical people, as well as market executives, to become a very strong company in Greece, working for the bigger operator in Greece, nowadays OTE, which is a Deutsche Telekom subsidiary in Greece. And throughout these years, we managed to obtain strong contracts with leading operators in Greece and Eastern Europe, as well as telecom vendors like Ericsson, like Nokia, like Huawei, that are supporting strongly these operators to grow in this emerging market. With this service growing that much all that period, also the NRAs, the National Regulation Authorities, had a lot of had an increased need of checking these networks and pressing them to deliver better and better services. So another market opened on that sector, on that axis as well, with benchmarking activities for these networks and delivering this information to the subscribers so that everybody can select what is the best network they can get. So working on this three axes, supporting the telecom operators that they wanted their networks to grow, supporting the vendors that were giving out their equipment and delivering end-to-end services to them, and also supporting the NRAs, and growing up all these years in the Greek market, we decided the last couple of years to expand in some countries in the Eastern Europe and Central Europe as well. That's why we have created subsidiary companies in Romania and in Germany. With these two new companies that are 100% daughter companies of Artemis Greece, we will have the opportunity to work in emerging markets like in the Eastern Europe, as well as in mature markets like in the Central Europe, utilizing our good resource pool that we already have in Greece right now. As mentioned a lot of times during this event and many times also in relevant references to the Greek technical personnel, there is a lot of strong competence in the Greek engineers. And working all these years in these networks, we managed to have a very good team that we are utilizing this period to expand in the markets of Central Europe. They have a very strong competence. They have very good experience, very good knowledge. And as a matter of fact, they have a very good knowledge and know-how on all the latest technology part of this business. So we utilizing 4G networks in Greece and FTTH networks in Greece gives us the ability to have know-how, to have experience, to have very good reference. So checking out what has happened last 2 years when we decided to grow in the European market, we have seen that our competence is good enough and our references also are also good enough, so that leading operators there are opening their doors, they're listening to us, and they're giving us opportunities to start working with them and growing our business and becoming more sustainable. Since we are able to disperse a little bit the risk of Greece, which is the last years is it has been very difficult growing this business in the Greek market due to the financial crisis and some certain events that occurred during this financial crisis, like the capital controls period. But we are happy to see now that things are evolving. A lot of good companies stood up all this period, and we see a lot of steps ahead from the government and some supporting funds that gave us the ability to overcome the crisis and work in better markets and grow this business even better. So the company today is consisted of 70 strong engineers and project managers. We are involving in our projects more than 300 people by outsourcing and out-tasking part of our activities. We are in the process of creating new structures in a few countries like Germany, England, and France, where we see that there is a strong need for new projects, new networks, for fiber to the home, for new broadband activities. And utilizing all this personnel and all this resource pool, utilizing our very good knowledge that we have about telecoms, we consider that we will manage in the next 2 to 3 years to establish better in the Central Europe and take a big part of these projects that are about to run or already started, but I think that the big volume is about to begin from now and for the next 5 years on this market. So these are the things as a principle that we do. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Max, so much. It's great that a technology company like Artemis is growing internationally, and this is very important. I do believe that you are examining possibilities of entering also the U.S. market, if I remember correctly, but this is something that you will let us know some other time. And I would like to ask Manos Sivakis to join us for a presentation. Manos is a bit of a unique case because his company, Custom Media Labs, is actually a U.S. company. Is based in Philadelphia. However, Manos is utilizing engineers out of Larissa in Greece, where he has a subsidiary company, and actually his company is the largest employer of engineers out of Athens. And we would like to commend that. He's taking Greek technology and he's selling this kind of products in international markets. Please join us, Manos.
Thank you. I'm going to have a video playing in the background. Hopefully it won't be distracting too much. But because I only have 13 minutes, I figured, you know, let's have something that showcases what we do. So today I'm going to be talking about a software as a service, a platform that we developed quite a few years ago. I believe it was first commercially available as a pilot in Granada, Spain in 2012. It was built primarily by Greek engineers, so we're very proud about that. Actually, can you have the video instead of that? Thanks. Until that happens? Okay, it will happen in a bit. So this platform is actually a pretty interesting platform. It covers quite a lot of areas of business that are focusing on sales and marketing. But as we've been launching it in various initiatives with a lot of Fortune 1000 clients, we actually saw that this can be something a lot more powerful when it becomes more focused in a certain segment of a business. So in this particular case, what we did is we took a look at the events industry. The events industry is a pretty big industry. It's one of the biggest industries and biggest contributors for our economy here in the U.S. I believe it's about $280 billion in spending that this industry represents, and I think it contributes $115 billion to the GDP. Events are one of the oldest marketing channels, as you all know. We're actually at an event right now. And it's really a critical gear for the B2B marketing engine. It's one of these things that consumes a pretty significant budget. Face-to-face, as you all know, is still a very strong approach to delivering a relationship, you know, delivering awareness around your product, getting competitive intel at an event, generating leads, of course, right? We're all at the event to generate leads. This is a traditional offline tactic that have always been considered really like almost like a brick and mortar approach. You've all seen the booths, you know, over the years they've been pretty much static. Now some booths are getting more lights from within. There used to be lights shining on something. Now there's lights, you know, within the fabric of the booth. Now we're seeing video walls and all these really nice shiny objects. So as you're seeing, the trend here is that you want to go beyond just, you know, giving food and beverages, you know, at your booth to attract traffic and generate your leads. You want to really go beyond having, you know, a very traditional form of basically portraying what your product offering is. And, of course, events that consider the events channel as one of the black holes of their companies because, you know, for you that might not have heard it, most executives are actually questioning what's the ROI for the event effort, and they don't dare change that approach, of course, because no one stops going to events. The events, of course, don't work as hard, so you can't really measure in a very easy way what happens at an event. 80% of event leads that are acquired are actually never receiving a follow-up. Most materials that people distribute at their booth actually never even reach the hotel room, let alone the office of the person that received them. I don't know how much you know, tchotchkes you got at an event, but I actually was very upset. I wanted to keep a bag in San Francisco from this awesome event, and I managed to leave that at the hotel room as well. So so as you can imagine, that industry has a little bit of a talent going beyond the floor, you know, and when you're spending so much money not going beyond the floor or not even knowing what is that ripple effect of your event effort, and you're spending a tremendous amount of your budget, it's time to rethink what you're doing. So this space has been evolving from a traditional medium into like a hybrid medium, I would say, where things are becoming a lot more digital. Because as you can imagine, marketing and the digital evolution of marketing is allowing basically for everything to be measured, and data-driven marketing, performance-driven marketing, is actually infiltrating this world. And it's a very happy moment for us because Mobecho is actually, you know, a platform that gets into your booth experience and actually amplifies and digitizes all that interaction and engagement that happens at the booth. So most platforms right now that are coming into that world are actually logistics focused. So there's a lot of platforms that are available, like Cvent, for example, where you can actually, you know, set up your event, you can set up your attendee lists, and you can, you know, email them, you know, acquiring basically attendees to come to your event, acquiring exhibitors to come to your event, and so on and so forth. None of these platforms really focuses so much on what happens between the attendee and the exhibitor. For us, that void is really where we come in. The need for an exhibitor to really effectively communicate their message digitally, so that it doesn't get lost, digitally, so that it can get measured, is one of these big pieces that Mobecho offers. So you're probably going to be seeing some of the things that we do back here. All these things are things that, of course, Mobecho brings to the market. This particular platform is actually able to measure true ROI because, you know, with Mobecho, you're not just getting a digital experience as you're at the booth. You're not actually having at your hands, you know, everything, you know, your marketing team ever wanted to bring to the event. Because guess what? Most of you, if you were ever staffing a booth, you had an opportunity to talk about an awesome case study that you had with a particular prospect in front of you. Oh, wait, I don't really have that marketing collateral. I actually couldn't bring it with me because, you know, we had a lot of shipping costs that we needed to reduce. So, you know, having this digital experience allows us to open up our whole marketing library, you know, to that world, and take that marketing library and actually digitally follow up post that session that we had with that particular prospect. So now a prospect is actually getting a digital follow-up that is actually immediately available to them on their personal device, therefore having a portability of their marketing collateral and, you know, having that marketing collateral be extremely measurable. So everything that that particular booth visitor is doing post-event is actually measured and tracked, so that as marketers and then, of course, salespeople, we can actually follow up in a timely way and in a much more targeted way. We actually had a lot of people that were talking to us about the lack of follow-up and the amazing lack of personalization in the follow-up as well. I don't know how many of you went to events, probably like this one, where you might get an email following up, and it will be basically something like, thank you for coming at Capital Link. It was great to see you. Hopefully you will see each other next year. You actually didn't even care about Capital Link really overall. You were probably presenting like me. You know, and maybe the message should have been different. Maybe the message should have been, I hope you had a great session at Capital Link and you had a lot of interesting, engaging conversations with potential partners or investors, for example. That would have been tremendously engaging and impressive, you know, in this world. And Momentio can bring that to the table. Gamification, surveying, you know, all sorts of opportunities to stick, you know, and have a sticky experience with your audience is also part of it. Because like I said, it's not just about, you know, capturing a lead, getting that business card. You know, it's about having a very immersive and interactive engagement with the person that is in front of you. We've seen actually dwell times at booths increase tremendously. We've had, you know, booth experiences that we created that were so successful that actually competitors came together, competitors of that particular brand came together to actually compete, you know, against each other at one of these booth gamification, you know, experiences that we created. So for us, it's really exciting times for us because the industry is really getting it. It's finally getting it. And we have the answer that they need. And that answer has been sold to Fortune 1000 companies from our team. And we actually scratched our head and we said, how can we get that to mass scale? Because obviously selling it to some really big clients that we have is great and it's actually generating a lot of revenue. But how can we really take this to mass market? And what we found in that space is that the actual, you know, badging companies that are, you know, the space is so fragmented, but the actual badges that are getting produced are from these particular companies that also offer lead retrieval, which is when you go now to an event, people scan you and they're actually following you, you know, from booth to booth with basically tracking. And at the end of the event, the actual booth, you know, marketer gets a spreadsheet, you know, with the people that came to the booth. That replaces basically the business card that you were capturing at a fishbowl. So that's the innovation that we're talking about. And with Momentio, we're actually able to go in, take care of that badging and lead retrieval, you know, option with our platform and actually offer so much more. Like I said before, the digital, you know, presentation side, the gamification side, and all sorts of things that actually amplify engagement. So our go-to-market strategy shifted from selling that to exhibitors to selling this to the associations and to the event organizers because they need a much better lead retrieval option. You know, those scanners are not working. That Excel spreadsheet is not working anymore. So they need to offer something better. So right now we see a tremendous opportunity to go in and get into the market, have access to the market through the associations, through these events, as the preferred vendor, the preferred platform for the event overall, which will allow us to basically sell to, you know, 100 companies that are of really interesting size for us, versus just having one company, one Fortune 1000 company at one event or maybe 10 events this year. As you can imagine, that scale will allow us to grow Momentio in an exponential way. And we actually just came back from an event in Anaheim, California, where we actually discussed that offering with associations and event organizers, and it was very well received. The difference that we have with all these other competitors in the market, which was very interesting for us to discover, and you only discover that at an event, so events do work, actually. The main value proposition for us is that we are actually not only offering a cutting-edge platform to that world, but because Momentio is something that a lot of our clients are taking to all their shows, you know, it represents a much bigger opportunity for us to be the event's partner because we care so much more than anybody else in that world. Typically, you know, other vendors, you know, that offer platforms that are really low-tech, which I described before, they only have basically that market. You know, it's the event market. Actually, they call it fishing out of a barrel. They're that complacent. So us coming in and seeing that opportunity to basically market to 100 booths and 100 brands that are there is actually allowing us to be a terrific partner for them because customer success and event success is really something that we're after because we want to be followed through. Like, we want to be taken and preferred from these booth marketers onto their other shows. So, and on top of that, we're not just making the licensing that this world typically makes, which is, I don't know, from a few thousand dollars all the way to some tens of thousands of dollars. One client, if we get one client, because we have a hybrid approach to this, if we get one client that follows us post that event, we actually had a client this year, and it wasn't even the biggest case study for us, but recently, one event and choosing us at one event generated $200,000 of revenue. So multiples of what these other platforms are able to get. So our vested interest is unmatched, and it's something that the event organizers actually received in a very, very positive way. To the point where I said to them, if I get quite a few clients out of this event, I might even give you back the money that you know, you're getting charged, you know, from these other competitors. Because for us, you know, the lifetime value of a client that we acquire is you know, completely exponential. So anyways, I mean, that's, I could say a lot of things, but I'm at zero right now, and I don't want to, you know, get anyone, losing any time for other things. That's Momentio, and that's what we do. Thank you.
I would like to thank all the panelists for attending. It was a real pleasure and an honor having you here, and I really hope that it was great for you also. Thanks so much. Thank you.